Would you turn to Deuteronomy 28? So why does God bless you? To change the world. He blesses you with prosperity to change the world, doesn't he? But there is a preparation for blessings, isn't there? In Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So why do people miss the blessings? Because they don't obey. Obedience brings the blessing. Blessed, what? Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That means healing. The produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. The increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause, come on, say it with me, the Lord will what? Cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. See what simple obedience brings? The Lord shall command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now this is where the saying comes, whatever you touch shall be blessed. But it must come from obedience, right? The problem is there's too many people, just because they start doing something and it doesn't happen according to their way, they stop. You know, God's going to bless you according to the way the Lord wants to bless you, not how you want to be blessed. In verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now this is where God wants to get us. Everybody got it? He doesn't want them to be afraid of you because you have material possessions. He wants them to be afraid of you because they know that you are blessed and the hand of God is on your life. And the fear that he talks about being afraid is, in other words, they're not really afraid of you. They're reverencing the Lord. All right, in verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, and the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. You shall heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Amen. In other words, God doesn't want you to get in debt, does he? He says, listen, I'm going to bless you. Now you got to understand, first of all, he says something very powerful. He who heeds the voice of the Lord, you must hear the voice of God. You know, many people don't know the voice of God. And they've got to learn the voice of the Lord. It's important to know what God is saying. Amen? Now, God speaks through us in many ways. Dreams, visions, impressions, his still small voice, his loud voice. Hello, he speaks to us through his word. There's many ways. But the problem is not enough people seek the Lord to get an answer. They just expect him to give the answer. Amen. But this is where God says, if you do this, I'll do that. Oh, hallelujah. Now, again, obedience brings blessing. He says, you do this and I'll do that. And remember that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, so every spiritual blessing is connected to a physical blessing. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, some of the things that hinder it, and I'm just going to share a couple things. We talked about serving other gods. Yourself can be another god. Most people don't even know what a cursed item is. Like music, dope, all of these things. You know how many times I counsel with someone, you know what they tell me? Well, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, you're not hurting anybody? Well, you're serving the devil. No, I believe in the Lord. Well, the word believe means to follow. Yeah, but I'm only having a drink here and there, smoke a little marijuana, snort a little coke here and there. I'm cool. Yeah, you're cool. You're so cool, you're going to cook. You die, you go to hell. No, God ain't that way. Yes, he says who you serve when you die is where you go. He is a righteous God. He's made way for man to know the truth. Amen? You know why most people run? In fact, it's in the Word this month in the newsletter about searching truth. And one of the things that most people don't want to search the truth is because they don't want to be accountable. But they already are accountable. Because if you're not in Christ, you're under the law, so you're already accountable. You're going to be judged. Amen? So many people go, oh man, I'm not hurting anybody, man. I remember a guy that, he came through the program, but I knew he wasn't going to make it. Because he was here doing time. He came through the discipleship program, Total Freedom. But he was here just doing time. He wasn't really seeking God. He wasn't allowing God to deal with him. You know, he kept covering over these issues and certain things of his life. Kept covering over. And one day I went to the chiropractor to get an adjustment. And there he was sitting there. It was early in the morning too. Because I think it was the day after football. And I was hurting. So I went to go get an adjustment. It's one of those mornings I couldn't adjust myself, so I had to have assistance. And so I'm sitting there, and he comes in there. And you can smell the booze all over him. And he's got this 7-Eleven gulpy, right? And in it is nothing. You knew it was booze. I mean, he's like swaying. He's coming in for an adjustment. What are you here for, man? And then I started talking with him, and I could smell the booze all over him. I said, man, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. No, you're just bringing a curse on yourself and your children. Hello? You know, God said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. No. Somebody's got to break that curse. So in this, you know, obedience brings blessing. Other than that, people can bless themselves. They can work to death, can't they? They can store up all kinds of stuff for themselves. And then they're afraid to lose it. Man, that's mine. You know, but they don't realize it's not theirs anyways. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how I got over there, but I did. The Lord says, submit to God and resist the thief. Hello? Submit to God and resist the thief. We have to be reminded not to sell your birthright, which is your inheritance, which is your blessings that were predestined for you. But too many people sell their birthright for a moment of flesh. Remember, authority. You must have authority to become, to receive your blessing when your obedience is fulfilled. Too many people only receive a partial blessing and not the full blessing. Because they haven't completed what God has asked them to do. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I'm just doing a little review here. Oh, praise God. Go to Acts chapter 20. Preparation for blessings, part 2. We didn't get to finish Sunday. Hallelujah. I don't know if we can ever really get to finish. Praise you, Lord. Acts chapter 20. Is everybody there? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So God is preparing His church to get blessed even more. The greatest blessing that you and I can have is His presence. Amen? So He prepares you for His presence. In fact, the Word tells us that David went and got the ark. And when he left it at Obadiah's house, Obadon, what's his name? I don't know. Some dude. That guy was getting blessed. Amen? David said, forget that, man. Come on, let's go get it. So they went and got the blessing. What did they do? They went and got the presence of God. And when they brought the ark into their place, they began to get blessed. That's why David danced before the ark. He was blessed. I mean, he didn't give a hoot about nothing. The man danced in his underwear. That man was blessed. Why? Because he was in God's presence. And no matter what was happening, he was blessed. And of course, his wife said, what you doing out there in your underwear? You're supposed to be a king. You're supposed to be more dignified than this. But David was undignified. He didn't care. He didn't care what men thought. And he certainly didn't care what his wife thought. Especially when she rebuked him for dancing in his underwear. She never bore a child again. She couldn't bear fruit. So when people come against you and how you worship the Lord, don't worry about it. It don't matter. They may call you a holy roller. Tell them you're a holy jumper. Not only do I roll, I jump. Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Would you read it with me? I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we see that it's more blessed to give, isn't it? I mean, there's just a good sense in your spirit when you're able to help someone and give. But you know, if the devil's got you all bound up and stuff and you're all bound up in self, it's hard to give because you're too concerned about you. Amen? Or if the devil's got you so beat up because you've been trying to compete with the world and you got yourself all in debt because everybody drives an SUV, so you went and got yourself in the gazillion dollars worth of debt because you wanted an SUV. And then you couldn't do the things for God because you're too busy working trying to pay off your debt. Amen? So here God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But God wants us to receive, doesn't he? Amen? But he doesn't want us to receive in a prideful attitude like it's owed to us. Nothing is owed to us. Amen? And that's what I call a welfare mentality. That something is owed to us. Amen? Nothing is owed to us. We owe him everything. We owe him everything. There is a nothing that you and I own, only what he's allowed us to use. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Luke 6. You know, in that scripture that we just read, it's basically a spiritual law. It's because what you give is what you receive, isn't it? And Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Luke 6 and verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Say it again. Give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Wow, that's powerful. See, here God says, listen, as you give, you'll be given back. It's a spiritual law. Now what happens, he says, okay, now, if you're faithful to use what I've given you, I'll give you more. Has everybody got it? See, don't look at what you don't have. Use what you have to the utmost. Use what you have to the utmost. I'm going to bring you to a scripture here shortly, and I'll tell you a couple other things here. But while we're in Luke, go to 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse 48. Luke 12, 48, I believe. Hallelujah. Ooh. Yeah, let's see. Yeah. And Luke 12, 41. Hallelujah. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Good. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him rule over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut him in two, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So he was just took a believer, didn't he? And gave him his portion with a what? Unbeliever. Everybody got it? He took a believer and cut him in two and gave him his portion, his reward as an unbeliever. And what reward would that be? Hell. Hallelujah. In verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For every one to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So, you know, as God begins to bless you, you are more accountable. Does everybody got? I mean, the more blessed you are, the more accountable you are. And you can't outrun that. You know, many people want to get blessed with all kinds of things, but I'm telling you what, the more blessed you are, the more accountable you are. And the more faithful you are with what you've been blessed with, the more God gives you. And as you are faithful with the little, he'll give you more. And this is where we go back again. Don't look at what you don't have. Use what you have. Does everybody got it? Use what you have. And if you're faithful with that, God will give you more. Everybody's out trying to get more. You know, that's all we need is more of him. That's what we should want more of. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 28. Now, much is not going to be given to someone who can't handle it. That's why it's preparation for blessing. God isn't going to give you any more than you can handle. Proverbs 28. You know, people are still crying out to God, oh God, I need this and I need that, and you know, come on, man. I need that Mercedes and I need that whatever. I need this. Ay, ay, ay. When they don't really need it. God doesn't supply you things for prestige. He supplies you things for witness. He supplies you things to support. Remember, blessings of God are to be supporting your ministry. And everybody has a ministry. Your life is now a ministry. Does everybody understand that? Your life is now a ministry. No matter what. You didn't just come to Jesus and say, okay, I minister one day a week. You said, I give you my life. So that means that your life is a continuous ministry. Amen? Why? Well, the Bible says that you're the temple of God. So you just don't turn the temple off 6 days and turn it on one day and give a couple of hallelujahs and expect to get blessed. And then people cry out and blame God. Why didn't you bless me? You're blessing everybody else. Because they didn't turn me off the rest of the 6 days. And they were obedient to what I asked them to do. And they waited on me. And they sought me. They just didn't look for me to bless them. They looked for me. There's a difference. Oh, Lord, I need to get out of this jail sentence. No, you need me sentenced to the presence of God. Oh, Lord, please get me out of this probation. You know why God puts people on probation? Because he knows them. Hello. Oh, Lord, come on, I'm ready to get off of this. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. I remember when I was on probation. I didn't care. I didn't care whether I was on probation. That didn't bother me. I wasn't going to do nothing anyways. You know, the probation come over. He come over, the officer come over, he get preached to every time. Finally, he started calling. You all right, guy? Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, did you watch TV the other day? Did you see that? Actually, my probation officer was a believer, so it was cool. Then he started sending people. He started recommending the program. But at first, he had to earn his trust. Because everybody goes in there and says, yes, I've been saved. I know Jesus. No, I don't need probation. You know, I'm going to be good. I mean, they all heard that. I'm good. Yeah. So God puts us on probation to keep us tight. Keep us close. No drifting. Amen. Because, you know, we got to all earn his trust. And when we're obedient with whatever, he begins to release us. I didn't care if I was on probation the rest of my life. I wasn't going to do any change. I wasn't going to do anything different. You know, I could go anywhere I wanted to do and do whatever I wanted to do. I just called him. Because I earned his trust. Amen? I was faithful with a little and God gave me more. You know, the leash around the neck began to go, it began to get a little bit more looser and looser until finally it was off the neck and it was just trust. I earned his trust and I was supposed to do 4 years probation and he recommended I be cut loose in two. So I did. But see, we're always on probation. Hello, you're on probation until you hit the throne room of God. And if we'll keep that attitude of gratitude and know that we're on probation with Jesus, our lives will be a little bit different. Hello? Oh, glory. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? A faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. In other words, if you're chasing the blessing, you're going to end up messed up. Has everybody got it? You don't chase the blessing. You chase the blesser. There's a difference. This is how God prepares us to receive the blessing. You know what? Listen. Anybody come and give you a present that you weren't expecting? And I was like, whoa, cool. Thanks, man. I wasn't expecting this. That's how God is. He wants to catch you at surprise all the time. The Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think. He wants to bless you. And why does he really want to bless you? In one aspect, and there's more than one, but one aspect I just want to mention is that he wants to reveal himself to you. So something will come in a certain way, and you'll just know it's from God. And you'll go, man, the Lord, you knew that. I mean, the simplest blessing. I mean, there was times when, you know, I would just be sitting there and my shoulder would be just hurting. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my wife would come up and put her hand on that shoulder and begin to rub it. And I'm thinking, who told her that? And you know what? I don't say thanks, hon. I'd say, thanks, Lord. Because I know the Lord doing it. And then I say, thank you for being obedient. Does everybody understand that? I mean, God just blows your mind sometimes, man. Just the simplest blessings to know that he is there is the greatest blessing. Just to know that he is there. Amen? But too many people hasten to be rich. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, we shouldn't be chasing money. As you are right with God, money will chase you. Does everybody understand that? Now, and look, it's not going to come out of the banks and run down the street to chase you. Hello. The Brinks truck is not going to pull up to your house and say, hi, we've been waiting for you to get home. It ain't going to happen that way. I'm talking about things that you sow, you will reap. Hello. That's what God gives us. What you sow is what you reap. It's a spiritual law. And as you begin to sow the things of God, and you begin to sow spiritually, you begin to sow yourself, you begin to sow things, you're going to begin to reap. Man, I gave more cars away, and I get blessed with cars. Just like money and whatever. When the Lord says give, I know he's trying to get something to me. Does everybody understand that? See, the problem is people don't have that revelation yet that when the Lord tells you to give, oh man, I'm being tested. No, God's trying to bless you, bonehead. He's trying to get something to you. He can't get something to you unless you're willing to give something. Right? God had to give himself that you could have salvation. He had to die for me and you that you and I could live. That's a spiritual law. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. In verse 17. One time I was invited to go preach at this place. It was kind of like a restaurant. It was a tea room. And in the back they had this whole area. And I went there and preached one Saturday night. And they put in an offering, and at the end of the service, they gave me the whole offering. And the Lord said, give it back. Hallelujah. And I put it back in their thing, and I gave it back. Every time I've gone there, I've never paid for one meal. And the waitress gets the blessing. Because whatever, you know, instead of paying for the meal, she gets blessed. She gets the tip. So my wife and I went out there today. And we sat. And we said, bring us a check. No. And no matter what waitress is there, they don't bring us the check. So we bless the waitress. Does everybody get it? All because of that offering went back. I was obedient to God. What did he say? Give and you'll be returned. Amen? Now, I don't go there, you know, every day and eat dinner. Hello. Like some people would. Hey, and they'll bring all their friends, you know. I'm not going there to get a free meal. Does everybody understand? My intent is not to get a free meal. That's not my intent at all. I love those people. They do a good work. But my intent is not to go there and get a free meal. My intent is to go there and bless them. And they end up blessing me. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 17, would you read it with me? Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, God has already predestined you with everything you need. Amen? That's your destiny, isn't it? Your destiny, everything in your destiny has been predestined for you, that whatever you need is there available. Everything you need. Now, in verse 18, he says, let them do good that they may be rich in good works. Ready to what? Give. Ready to what? Give. Ready to what? Give. Not take. Right? Ready to give. Willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold of eternal life. What are they doing? They're building treasures in heaven, aren't they? Amen? They're building treasures in heaven. So you go try to tell the world that. You know? Hey man, don't worry about your money. Yeah, right. You go try to tell somebody, give. You know, most wealthy people, do you know why they're wealthy? Because of paper. They usually don't have nothing in the bank. They're wealthy by paper. And they're so afraid, they're fighting to maintain what they have. And they're willing to steal, lie, and cheat to maintain what they have. And they think that you do real good because they gave $35 to UNICEF. Hello. Yeah, man, I gave to UNICEF last year. What a tax write-off. Hello? Oh, praise God. He says, oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Oh, hallelujah. Go to James chapter 1. Is everybody okay? James chapter 1. Thank you, Master. Oh, you're so good to us. In verse 21, James 1, 21. Everybody there? Come on, read it with me. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with the meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I think we better say that verse one more time. But what? Be doers of the word. In other words, be obedient. Be a believer. Remember, the word believe means to follow. Follow means to put the word in practice. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. for he observes himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be blessed in what you do? Then don't be a forgetter. Pray. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world of greed. Amen? Of greed. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 10. You know what? Let's go back. I want to go to verse 12 in James 1. I want everyone to read this. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Blessed is the man who endures temptations. Hello. Blessed is the man who what? He endures it. He goes through it. He overcomes the temptation. One of the things the devil is always going to tempt you with is riches. He's going to tempt you with money. How many times have you been tempted with more money and another job when God has not told you to go there? Amen? Why? Because the devil's always trying to get somebody out of position, and he lures them with money. Money. I see so many people, I've seen it happen over and over and over, to be brought out of position of God by money. The allurement, that temptation. For when he has been what? Approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who loved him. So, God is going to watch you be tempted. When you overcome that, you get approved. Hello? Remember, I shared with you before that when you miss that blessing from the Lord, it never comes back. It's over with. It's over with. If the enemy can get you out of position and you miss that blessing that God's trying to get to you, it's over with. It will never come back again. Because when God is trying to get something to you, it's created there for that moment, and that's that. Then what he has to do is recreate something else for you. That which was lost will never be the same blessing. Has everybody got it? It can't be. It's impossible. But we know that the Word says all things work to the good, right? But what God, when the devil gets you out of position and you miss that blessing from the Lord, it's just like something that's just been created for that moment and that time. It can never be recreated again. It's another creation. Does everybody got it? Just like a child that's aborted. That child, there will never be another one like that child. Never. That's the blessing of the Lord, isn't it? There will never be another child like that one. Never. Has everybody got it? That's how God's blessings are. There will never be that same blessing. So we don't want to miss any more. Amen? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now go to Proverbs 10. In verse 6, blessings, everybody say blessings, are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now wait a minute, that's pretty wild. Blessings are on the head, right? And violence is on the mouth of the wicked. But blessings are on the head of the righteous, and violence is on the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Oh, hallelujah. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Go to 2 Kings 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. We'll be in the king's department. Second Kings chapter 3. And I believe it's verse 14. And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of the land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by Adam, and the land was filled with water. What? When did it come? After the what? Offering. Now here's something strange. The Lord said, okay, go on out there and dig ditches. Now it's not going to rain. And you're not going to see wind or anything. You know, sometimes God tells you strange things to do. You just can't figure it out. Okay, Lord, I know you told me this. Okay. Don't try to figure everything out God is trying to tell you. Just do it. Does everybody understand? You know, too many people are trying to figure out carnally because we're so caught up in the carnal world. Just do it. And what happened? So he performed his word. If you do this, I'll do that. Does everybody understand that? That's how blessings come. By what? Obedience. Okay? By obedience. Just didn't make any sense. Go to John 9. I'm starting at verse 1. "And now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So his disciples understood about the curse. Has everybody got it? "And Jesus said, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." Now, that would seem strange. In fact, if you tried to go do that to someone, they'd probably slap you in the face. "What you doing spitting all over me, man?" Hello? You go try to do that to an unbeliever. You'd be praying for your own sight. Now he put the saliva, you know, the clay, and rubbed it in his eyes. And he said to him, "Now go wash in a pool of Siloam, something like that, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing." Now this is powerful because here's a dude, he couldn't see what was put in his eyes. He just knew that the Lord told him to go wash in that pool. So he didn't see yet, did he? You know what he saw? After he obeyed. After he obeyed, he saw. That's when the blessing came, didn't it? Oh, hallelujah. He just said, go wash, right? Go back in 2 Kings, chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Second Kings in chapter 4. starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. You do this and he'll do that. Preparation for blessing. That means you got to really die, don't you? That means you can't figure out everything. You just got to trust God. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And a creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" Hello? And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Don't look at what you don't have. Use what you have. Then he said, "Go, borrow." Hello, borrow. Borrow. Now this was from the word of the Lord. He said, "Go what? Borrow." Now she didn't argue with him, saying, "Well, you know, I'm not supposed to borrow anything." Hello? She would have missed the blessing, wouldn't she? People get so religious. He said, "Go borrow vessels from where?" Everywhere. From all of your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Go borrow all you can. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons." This was not for nobody else. Now you might think, "Well, didn't the Lord want to be a witness of his..." No, this was for her specifically. God will do this with you, just for you. "When you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him. Now, she didn't ask no questions. You remember, she only had a little oil in one vessel. She didn't have a full vessel. She had a little oil in one. She didn't say, "Well, wait a minute, I don't have enough to fill this one." No reasoning. She just said, "Okay, you got it, man." Because she realized that what she was hearing wasn't from man, it was from God. Even though the man was speaking. See, the Bible says it's given according to the measure of your faith. If you stop looking at, when people stop looking at a man speaking and start realizing it's the Spirit speaking, their faith is going to increase. Oh, hallelujah. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." So there was plenty. She went and, I'm telling you, God supplied. What did she do? She had to trust God, and she went out and what? Borrowed. Let me share something with you. When the Lord started the ministry and to help people in total freedom and so forth, you know, and being brought up and so forth, you know, and this religious stuff. And then even, you know, even some spirit-filled believers are still, you know, hello? Man, don't borrow. Don't borrow. Don't get in debt. Now, God doesn't want us to get in debt, does he? But see, this is where a relationship is important. The Lord gave me this scripture right here that we just talked about. He said, "If you do this, I'll do that." Now the vessels, he said, "Go borrow and I'll fill. Go borrow and I'll fill. Use what you have. Go borrow and I'll fill. You know, we don't have any churches that support or organizations and stuff that support total freedom. Total freedom is a self-sustaining vessel of oil that constantly is filled. There is no one that's paying the mortgages or anything. God, by His supernatural, His divine intervention, does it. When He said to me, go borrow, because I was concerned about getting a mortgage on this house next door. He said, go borrow, and I'll fill. And I did. And I did it again. And I did it again, and I did it again. And I did it again. Hello. And I was still using what I had. So we added an addition onto one of our houses. That we added 3 more bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and a garage. And then the Lord put on my heart, okay, now refinance another one. And I did again today. So we can add another addition on another house. Now it's powerful because I went into the title place where we did the closing. By the time we left there, the woman that was signing all the signatures was weeping and crying, and we were praising God. And we prayed for her and everything, man. It was powerful. And she had some powerful testimonies herself. Sweet woman. Very sweet woman. But the Lord shared this with me today. And I shared with her this scripture. I said, this is how this whole thing was going to be financed, by what Elijah told the widow, is what God told me. This is how I'm going to finance you. You borrow, and I'll fill. Does everybody got it? You do this, and I'll do that. Now, I didn't try and calculate anything out. Now, my poor wife had a hard time. Now, you got to remember, I had no credit. You know, I was bankrupt. I had lost everything. You know, I was the addict and pawned all the furniture and all the washer, dryer, jacuzzi out the back, you name it. I got rid of it. When the Lord sent my wife back, she came back to an empty house, man. I mean, everything was gone. Guy, where's the jacuzzi? Well, it's, you know. I'm a new creation. It wasn't me. But I had to earn that trust too. But, I mean, so all of these things that were just like, you know, my wife, you know, had a hard time sometimes because she was the breadwinner. And I was the one that blew everything, and she came back to nothing. And here I am saying, you know, we need to, you need to sign this paper. And I just let God deal with that one. She signed the paper. After having to sign for 3 of them, she became accustomed to it. She got revelation. She said, just bring them and I'll sign them. Now my credit's better than hers. Because God cleaned me up by being obedient. Hello? Does everybody understand that? See, I couldn't do what I, you know what I'm saying? Because He kept the finances away from me. You know. Thank God, because I'd have given it all away. He kept me on probation. So, and there was a whole other thing, you know. Well, after I'd gotten saved, and I was in debt like crazy and all kinds of stuff, and I had collectors after me and all, and I kept saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And my car died at this place. And I got out thinking I ran out of gas. I went in a store. Right there it said, bankruptcy. I'm thinking, are you trying to tell me something? So I picked the paper up. I went back to the car, and it started up. So I went home, and I, you know, I said, Lord, this is wild. And they called me in, the debtors. And I was willing to make payments. I wanted to pay it off. And they harassed me and tormented me terribly. They wanted me to take off the cross off of my neck and give it to them. I'm telling you. And I walked out of the room. They wanted the title of my car. And I was going to go out and give it because I didn't care. Whatever you want, Lord. I went out to get it. And the Lord said to me, they're not the judge. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, leave. Do not go back in there. So that's when he led me to the paper that said bankruptcy. And I filed bankruptcy. Now it hurt my credit. That's why when Kate and I got remarried, we used wisdom. She kept her maiden name. And we were able to get the houses. See, God gives you wisdom. But see, he uses the things of the natural realm to perform the supernatural. If you're hearing from him and obeying him. I'm telling you, things aren't going to make sense because everybody told me don't borrow any money and everybody told me you couldn't file bankruptcy. Well, I did both things. So it came against all of the things that were being told to me that I should do, but I had to hear from God. Amen? I had to hear from God and get confirmation. So I did it. So now we have 8 homes and God is on the move. Is everybody with me? Are you understanding this? Good. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to go out and borrow money tomorrow, amen? You must listen to God. Well, man, you can file bankruptcy, so can I. No, God is going to deal with you individually. Hello, I'm not promoting bankruptcy and I'm not promoting borrowing. I'm promoting the obedience to the voice of God, which brings the blessing. Hello? Make sure that's on tape. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to shut the door to the devil for anyone here. Now there was this man named Naaman who needed a healing. And in verse 10, now he was a well-known man. He was a man of honor. In verse 10, he went out to go see Elisha. And Elijah sent a messenger to him. Is everybody with me? Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Now this guy's like, wait a minute. I came out here to see Elijah, the man of God. He sends me out his messenger, tells me to go wash in this dirty place. First of all, the water is too cold and it's filthy. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. So he had a certain expectation of how it should be done. Well, he was surprised. Elijah didn't come out and he told him to go, sent his servant to go dip in the Jordan. It is cold and dirty. 7 times and he'll get cleaned. Are not the Abana and the Farpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? They're warmer, and I can see to the bottom. So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh, hallelujah. How many times we have our expectations of how something should be done, and it's not done that way? And people get rage, don't they? And you know what? The enemy's standing right there saying, and you thought God was going to do that. He's holding something from you. God doesn't hold anything from you. He's holding something from you. People come and get counsel from the devil because they don't get what they want. The devil tells them, the pastor's really not looking out for your interest. He's trying to control you. That's a demon, you know. Oh, hallelujah. When things of our expectations don't come to pass. Oh, we get furious. Unless you're in a place where you're totally trusting in God. Unless you're a place where you're denying yourself. This is God, how He prepares you for the bigger things. Does everybody understand that? See, if you grumble and complain over the little thing that you didn't get, you think He's going to give you something bigger? No way. No way. If the first house that we got, if we didn't use it correctly and just rented it out, we wouldn't have gotten another one. But that was not our intention. It wasn't about renting out a house. It was about rescuing, discipling souls. And God gave another and another. Amen? Isaiah 40. Preparation for the blessings. Isaiah 40. In verse 3. The voice of one what? Crying in the wilderness. What did he say? Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now the Lord is your blessing. The Lord is your blesser and He is your blessing. So when you prepare the way of the Lord, He's always bringing a blessing to you. So you must, this is why it's preparation for the blessings. Has everybody got it? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Prepare the way of the Lord. Go to Genesis 32. Prepare the way of your blesser. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Obedience brings the blessing. Now, you remember we talked about Esau, who sold his birthright. Amen? He sold his birthright to Jacob, didn't he? Jacob is now running to his brother, Esau. Now, you remember, Jacob boogied. He said, man, my brother's going to kill me. Now, he ran into him, and he heard he was coming. He's like, oh. So he began to seek God for help, knowing what to do. So he began to send his brother gifts and stuff before Esau was getting closer. He was trying to buy him off, you know. And in verse 22, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. See, let me tell you something again. There's always a fight before the blessing. There's always a fight before the blessing. People get moved out of position and miss the blessing. You know why? Because they're not willing to fight. There is always a fight before the blessing. Does everybody get me? I'm telling you, the greater the fight, the bigger the blessing. Because the devil sees the hand of God moving on your behalf. And he's going to try and do everything he can. Now, in this, God was building character in Jacob. He wanted to know where he was. Because Jacob was weaning out. He sent everybody across but him to see Esau. And he stayed behind. He didn't go over the brook. He stayed behind. So God met him behind. He said, you ain't going to go over there and do it? Well, I'm going to come over here and do it. Because he was the promised seed, wasn't he? He was the one that was supposed to carry the inheritance and the blessings of the Lord. So God wasn't just going to let him weenie out over there. Just like Joseph. Joseph had to go through all kinds of stuff so God could position him till he became one of the wealthiest men besides Pharaoh in the world. The second wealthiest man in the world was Joseph. So Jacob, who was wealthy, now wrestled with God so God could build character in him. And he broke one of his legs. His hip. He hit, pushed his socket out. And he prevailed. He said, I ain't letting go until you bless me. If I got a hobble on one leg, I'm not letting go. So everybody understand that. You cannot let go. You can't let go. And verse 29, then Jacob said, asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel did not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. Now, we know that there God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means overcomer. He overcome. He overcame his stuff so that he could receive the blessing. Is everybody with me? Go to Psalm 68. Preparation for blessing. Psalm 68. That's why we're in the flood. Amen? That's why we're in the flood. It's going to get deeper. It's okay. The deeper the flood, the greater the blessing. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with what? Benefits. The God of our salvation. He daily loads you with benefits. Daily. Daily he blesses you. Daily. You know, the thing is, if you could count all your blessings every single day, you couldn't hold enough. And how God just blesses you in certain simple ways. But the big blessings are big fights. The little blessings seem to be like we take it for granted. Did you get up and shower this morning? Praise God, you got blessed. And you blessed the person sitting next to you too. See, there's a double blessing just by taking a shower. It's amazing. You could turn it on and you get hot water. I'm telling you, every time I take a shower, I think, thank you for hot water. See, because I remember taking cold showers out of hoses. Thank you for this food, Lord. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you. You know, an attitude of gratitude. Just being grateful and thankful in every area. Don't look at what you don't have. Be grateful and thankful what you have. God will take care of it. God will establish. God will promote. God will bless. You just stay in position no matter what it is. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9, and we'll close here. Oh, praise you. I guess we better start at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Would you all read it with me? But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Oh man, I tell you, I see people handing their tithes and stuff. They're trying to be a cheerful giver. I mean, man, you know, you can see them. You know, we get people to hand in their money every week. I want to see my balance. Like we're going to steal from them. Let me see their balance. Man, you haven't given any money yet. I want to see my balance. It's zero. I'm telling you, a cheerful giver. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work as soon as you become a cheerful giver. You know, some people, yeah, well, you know what? I gave $10 last week. I'm still waiting for my 100-fold return. I'll give another 10. You know, it blows my mind. You know, it just blows my mind. I got to tell you something. I get some people, I mean, to God be the glory. You know, it's just funny. Here's the tithe, $14.93. they couldn't stretch that 7 cents. It'd probably put them in bankruptcy. I mean, right to the penny, man. And I can just see them really slowly writing that check, you know. 19. What's that time? How much? And then some of them try to cheat God. See, they like to give the tithe after all the taxes are out. After they pay their rent, buy their groceries, pay for the kids this, that, whatever, and go out and have two dinners. Then they tithe. Yeah, we only gave 14 cents, but I made 14,000 because I had all these bills. No, God says, tithe the first fruits. You don't tithe after your taxes are out. What are you doing? You're cheating God. You are robbing God. Does everybody understand that? You are robbing God. The Bible tells us in Malachi 3. Do you want to read it? Good. Come on. I'm coming back to the scripture. Malachi chapter 3. See, tithing protects your money. Offering increases it. So quit being so squeaky. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now check that out. Will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? What do you mean we robbed you? I gave you a few bucks. He says, in tithes and offerings, And listen, you're not just robbing God in tithes. You're robbing him in offerings. See, people don't understand that. Does everybody get it? He says, tithes and offerings. People want to be blessed, but they want to rob God in the offering. Tithes is your 10%. If you get a check for, if it says gross, 500 bucks, your tithe is 50. Not after taxes, not net. Your tithe is 50. That's called your first fruit. Okay. Your offering is anything after the 50. What the offering is how God increases your income. The tithe maintains it. And verse 9, would you read it? You are what? Cursed with a curse. Some people wonder why they can't get out of debt. Because they're cursed. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse. You know what a storehouse is? The house of God. The fellowship, the church where you're at is called the storehouse. Why? Because God has directed that staff to distribute the funds where needed. Does everybody understand that? This little ministry, I don't know, was last year or year before, gave out $66,000. This little place has flown people from Russia to Israel. This little place has drilled wells in Africa. This little place is feeding, clothing, and building orphanages overseas. This place tithes and offers. So whatever this ministry takes in, it also tithes and offers to other ministries. Most of it is to assist children. So your money is not going into my Harley. That Harley didn't come from anything from this church. My truck was donated. Praise God. In fact, I just got a check. I just started getting paid last year out of all the years of service. I'm going on my second year out of 13. I'm blessed. And God does exceedingly abundantly, far above all I could ever ask or think. And when you get blessed for birthdays and you get money, you're the tithe. You get blessed with a vehicle, you better tithe. You get blessed with stuff, you got to give some kind of offering to God. You know, the first check I got after 13 years, you know what the Lord said? Give it. I mean, I was so used to not having a check, it didn't matter to me. To me, it was an honor. Because what did he say? Sow your first fruits. Does everybody get it? It's so important because it's not our money anyways. It's his. Think about how much money you gave to the devil. I mean, think about how much money you gave to the devil. And the people are going to grumble and complain because they got a tithe and offering to God who's feeding children, clothing them, sheltering them, and saving souls for eternal life. Verse 10, bring the tithes and all all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And he says, and try me on this, bonehead, squeaky, greedy little thing, yeah? Try me on this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You know what? Sometimes you get delivered from that demon that's been tormenting you. Sometimes you get healed. All kinds of things can happen. You have no idea what God can do when you become obedient. Try me on this. Look at verse 11. Check this out now. Come on. And I will what? Rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please, and we'll close here. It will change your life. It will change your life, because this mindset that it's your money has got to change. I'm telling you, man, you want to be blessed, then you got to die. You want to be blessed, then you got to remember that you don't own nothing. You want to be blessed. I'm telling you, he'll make a way. How do you think God expresses himself to you? How are you going to know who he is unless you get into circumstances? And I'm not telling you to go out and get in trouble to find out where God is. See, God shows up when you cannot go any farther in your ability. When you come to your last penny. Oh, Lord. And he says, give it. Give it. I'm thirsty. Give it. Remember, what did he do to the other woman? When Elijah showed up to the other widow. And she come out. She's getting ready to make her last meal. Her and her son are going to die. What does he say? Make me something first. Come on. Somebody come up to you. You got your last dollar. And they say, listen, I need a drink. Get a job, man. I want to start at verse 8 again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we repent for holding anything back from you. We ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you for supplying the seed for the sower. And as you increase the seed for the sower, may they plant more seed and be obedient to your word. And you said, test us on this. You said, test me and see that I won't bless your socks off. So, Lord, bless our socks off that we may bring glory to your name in Jesus' name.